Sorry, well, the technology bugs are just everywhere today. Thank you, Senator. And Commissioner Ryan had something to say. Commissioner Ryan?
Okay.
Sure. Thanks, Mayor, and hello, Senator Carter. It's so good to see you. And I'm excited that we have such a qualified, best-in-class nominee to serve as a trustee for the city. Your work is known to so many of us, and more importantly, your warmth, your guidance, your mentorship is appreciated by me and I know other colleagues. And your work at Oregon Department of Human Service was so pivotal. Anyway, having your expertise on this board will be so helpful. I can't wait to see what you will offer to our city, and I'm so honored to vote aye.
Thank you. And Senator, we also heard from all of the other commissioners, Commissioner Rubio, Commissioner Hardesty, Commissioner Mapps, and they also expressed their strong support for your candidacy and are so appreciative of you stepping forward. Keelan, do we have any public testimony on this resolution?
No one is on the call for this.
Please call the roll.
Hardesty.
Senator Carter, thank you, thank you, thank you for agreeing to serve the city yet again in another capacity. I am thrilled to vote aye.
Mapps.
I too want to thank the senator for her willingness to serve our city yet again. And I just want to pause and share a personal reflection as I look at the screen and I see Senator Carter, Commissioner Hardesty, and Commissioner Rubio here. These are three trailblazing women who have really opened up the doors for generations of Oregonians of color. And I think Oregonians, all Oregonians. I have chills at this moment, and I am delighted to vote aye. Thank you, Senator Carter.
Rubio.
I also want to echo my colleagues and just giving a deep appreciation to Senator Carter. Our city is lucky to have your service and your wisdom and your leadership. And I also want to just appreciate your many, many years of service and mentorship to all of us. I vote aye.
Ryan.
Yes, I already said my comments, and it's just a thrill to see you on the camera, Senator Carter. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I can't believe that we are as fortunate as we are today to have somebody with the experience, both in the community as well as leadership experience and technical experience, as Senator Carter. She's going to be a terrific chairperson for this important function in our city, and we're just really glad to have you. I'm glad to have your energy, your time, and your talent. I'm very happy to vote aye. The resolution is adopted. The appointment is approved. Thank you, Senator Carter. We appreciate it so much. We will move next to item 696 on the regular agenda.
Appoint and reappoint members to the Structural Engineering Advisory Committee for terms to expire June 26, 2024.
Commissioner Ryan.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, we have six extremely qualified candidates who are seeking this role, and each of them bring their unique perspective and experience to our Structural Engineering Advisory Committee for the next 3 years. Amit Kumar will take it away from here and give a little more information about our nominees. Please take it away. Please take it away, Amit.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioner Ryer, and members of City Council. Good morning. My name is Amit Kumar, and I'm the supervising engineer with the Bureau of Development Services. The Structural Engineering Committee is a citizen committee that advises the Bureau of Development Services on matters related to structural engineering. Portland City Code Title 24.10.085 specifies that members of the Structural Engineering Advisory Committee, consisting of six members licensed in Oregon to practice structural engineering, be appointed by the mayor and approved by City Council. Members may be appointed to no more than two consecutive three-year terms. These appointments will fill current vacancies on the committee as the terms of the current members have expired. Therefore, on behalf of the mayor and Commissioner Dan Ryan, it gives me great pleasure in recommending the following distinguished members of the Structural Engineering Committee as new members to their first three-year terms on the committee. First, we have Hamid Afghan, Hamid is the founder and president of AAI Engineering, a local structural and civil engineering, landscape architecture, and planning firm. He has been the principal for the structural design and evaluation of a variety of industrial, commercial, educational, and multifamily projects, providing in-depth knowledge of a wide range of building systems and materials. Hamid's wealth of design and construction experience facilitates creative and economic solutions. Hamid is often asked to provide forensic engineering services as well as expert testimony and is a frequent guest speaker for forensic structural engineering. He has taught at Portland State University and Clackamas Community College. Second, we have Shirley Chalupa. Shirley is a principal with DCI Engineers with over 23 years of experience in structural engineering. She has overseen numerous mass timber, cold form steels, steel modular, seismic retrofit, and renovation projects throughout Oregon. She believes in preserving character and history of the city of Portland by seismically retrofitting and reusing existing buildings for the next generation. She has preserved numerous historical buildings throughout Portland, such as the Olympic Mills, East Side Exchange, Hotel Chamberlain, among others. She served as a structural engineering representative on the City of Portland's Unreinforced Masonry Building Work Group in 2019. And Shirley believes in local government can benefit with engaging with community members like herself. She's an advocate in instigating respectful, meaningful dialogue about equity in the workplace. And last, we have Jennifer Eggers. Jennifer has over 18 years of structural engineering experience, including the design and seismic retrofit renovation of elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and public-private university campuses, along with public, civic, government, and private developer work. Jennifer has vast experience with seismic evaluations and or retrofitting of existing buildings, and currently serves as the Vintage Building Committee Chair of the Structural Engineers Association of Oregon. Jennifer also has experience in the use of alternate materials such as fiber-reinforced plastic and evaluations using alternate technologies such as base isolation. In addition to the above-mentioned three new members, we are recommending that we reappoint three existing members so as to provide continuity on the committee. The three existing members whose reappointment is being recommended have served their first term, and if reappointed, would serve the second and final terms. The first member recommended for reappointment is Clinton Ambrose. Clinton is a principal and founding partner with ABHT Structural Engineers. Clinton has over 28 years of experience. His portfolio of work includes structural consulting for a wide variety of projects such as wastewater treatments, plants, recreational facilities, educational facilities, office buildings, seismic evaluations and retrofit of multi-story mixed-use residential commercial facilities. ABHT Structural Engineers are an Oregon certified MBE and DBE firm. The second reappointment candidate is Mark Tobin. Mark is a principal with KPFF Consulting Engineers with over 20 years of experience as a practicing structural engineer. Mark's career has focused on seismic renovations, seismic evaluations, school buildings and high-rise buildings, including advanced, non-linear and finite element analysis. Mark has served on the City of Portland's Unreinforced Masonry Seismic Retrofit Project Technical Standards Committee and on the Oregon Seismic Safety Policy Advisory Commission on Critical Buildings. And lastly, we have Kent Yu. Kent has over 20 years of structural earthquake, tsunami, and forensic engineering experience. He is well known for his expertise on seismic design, performance-based design, advanced finite element analysis. Kent has served on national and state committees, including on the board of directors for the Applied Technology Council, as chair of the Oregon Seismic Safety Policy Advisory Commission, American Society of Civil Engineers, or ASC 7 Tsunami Load Effects Committee, ASC Infrastructure Resilience Division Executive Committee. He was the primary author of the 2012 Oregon Resilience Plan. So these recommendations are based on a thorough outreach and a review process and in considerations for the city and the Bureau of Development Services goal on equity, inclusion, and anti-racism, and specifically on the Bureau's commitment to racial composition of BDS commissions, boards, and committees. Our outreach efforts, including advertising in the Structural Engineers Association of Oregon newsletter and website, posting the openings on the BDS website, Office of Community and Civic Life's website, outreach to BIPOC or focus organizations such as Oregon Association of Minority Entrepreneurs and Oregon Chapter of National Association of Minority Contractors, and posting on social media platforms. It is a sincere hope that these candidates will bring a wealth of expertise and experience to the Structural Engineering Advisory Committee, and their appointments will help ensure that the good work of the Structural Engineering Advisory Committee continues on behalf of BDS, the Development Committee, and all Portlanders. Thank you for your time, and I'll be happy to answer any questions the council may have.
Thank you very much, and as always, we watch you, but we also watch the background. It's really great. It's my favorite. I love it when you're on. Colleagues, any questions before I ask if somebody would like to make a motion? Seeing no questions, I'll entertain a motion.
Well, just for the record, I think it's good to know that that's just a fake background and that Ahmed is not in Hawaii at the moment, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, that's doubly disappointing. I was sort of wondering why the same wave kept rolling in over and over again. I'll entertain a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
Commissioner Hardesty moves. Can I get a second?
I second that.
Commissioner Ryan seconds. Any further discussion? Keelan, please call the roll.
Hardesty.
I want to really appreciate the very due diligence that was taken to ensure that you presented us with a diverse slate of candidates. I am thrilled with these appointments and look forward to the good work that will come out of the structural engineering work. I'm happy to vote aye.
Maps.
I want to express my gratitude for everyone who's agreed to serve on this important committee. I was trying to do the math as we were hearing the bios. They bring hundreds of years of experience to this very important work. I'm grateful for their service to our community, and for those reasons, I vote aye.
Rubio.
I want to thank the three members that are being reappointed for their willingness to continue serving. And also welcome the three new members that are coming in fresh into this space. There's a high need for this expertise, and we're looking forward to the work ahead. I vote aye.
Ryan.
Yes, thank you. Ahmed, thank you for your good work. This just doesn't happen. So your relationships in the community are pivotal to make sure that we get top-notch people that are qualified for such an important role. And thank you for your service, especially those who are recommitting to another 3 years. I can't think of a more important time to give this a lot of attention. With the climate crisis coupled with our aging infrastructure, to an earlier topic, places a real spotlight on your work. I think everyone knows what happened. The collapse of the condo building in Florida is something that can happen anywhere. And so we really need to double down on our efforts to ensure that Portlanders are safe and we're equipped to handle the continuing challenges of the climate crisis on our infrastructure. Once again, thank you, Ahmed, for your good work. I vote aye.
Miller.
Well, I'm delighted to support these appointments and reappointments. I want to thank everybody who serves. As Commissioner Ryan just said, this is a highly technical area. It's a really important one. It's been highlighted by issues nationally. And we did just receive a report not that long ago talking about our aging infrastructure and the need to really be engaged on structural engineering issues. These are people who bring years of talent and energy to the table. The pay is not very good, and we're really grateful for their willingness to serve our community in this capacity. I vote aye. The report is accepted. The appointments are approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is 698, please.
Authorize $15 million of long-term bonds for local improvement and sidewalk repair projects and financing of system development charges, plus additional amounts for issue costs.
Colleagues, this ordinance authorizes the city to issue long-term bonds for financing $15 million of capital improvement. These bonds will finance assessment contracts for various local improvement district projects that include sidewalks, improvements, as well as SDC, system development charges. I'll turn this over to Matt Gurock to present the ordinance. Matt, good to hear you today.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Good morning, commissioners. For the record, I'm Matt Gearock, the manager and bureau of revenue and financial services. To provide some additional background, the proposed borrowing includes refinancing a portion of the city's local improvement district revolving line of credit and providing bond proceeds to infrastructure bureaus for system development and sidewalk repair costs. This financing will also establish the interest rates of associated assessment contracts by property owners who have chosen to finance their assessments. The bonds will be secured by the city's full faith and credit, as well as a pledge of assessment payments received under the associated financing contracts established under each program. The current borrowing amount is estimated to be $10.3 million. However, this will fluctuate based on potential assessment prepayments or additional assessments contracts that may be included in the borrowing. With council's approval, we plan to issue the bonds in late fall or early winter. As previously mentioned, this is a normal course of business operation of the city, and I'm happy to answer any questions from council. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Commissioner Hardesty has her hand raised. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. I always appreciate your presentation, and I always have to actually interpret it into plain language. And so let me see if I have a plain language understanding of what we're doing. We're going to bond so that the local improvement districts that we have already committed to will be able to do the street repairs in addition in conjunction with the construction projects that are already approved and underway. And these projects have been approved by the council and are already in the works. Am I giving an accurate description of what you said?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. The projects are already complete. This is terming out the line of credit that's already was used to finance the local improvement districts.
Yeah, I sometimes we talk in a language that isn't apparent to the general public. And so my goal was to try to put it in plain speak so that those who are listening in or will see the recording later will understand what we're doing. You're absolutely right. We do this on a regular basis. It makes perfect sense. And thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. Any further City Council questions? If not, Keelan, do we have public testimony on this non-emergency ordinance?
No one signed up for this item.
Very good. This is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Next item, 699.
Authorize application to the U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance for a grant in the amount of $480,737 for the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant Program FY 2021 local solicitation to assist the Portland metropolitan area law enforcement and criminal justice community to prevent and reduce crime and violence.
Colleagues, this is also a non-emergency ordinance. On August 5th, 2021, the City of Portland applied to the United States Department of Justice, the DOJ, the Office of Justice Programs, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, for the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant Program for the fiscal year 2021 local solicitation process. The grant program instituted by the Department of Justice in 2005 is named after Edward Eddie R. Byrne, a New York City Police Department officer who was killed while on duty back in 1988. The Department of Justice directs funding to local law enforcement agencies and their disparate partners to assist in their efforts to prevent or reduce crime and violence. The 2021 JAG funds, as they are called, will be awarded under disparate certification to the city, to Multnomah County, as well as the city of Gresham. Portland is the fiscal agent for all three. The formula award amount is allocated to the three entities based on a statutory formula from the Bureau of Justice Statistics. The Police Bureau will receive $239,295, Multnomah County $188,018, and Gresham Police Department $53,424, for a total of $480,737 in grant funding. The Police Bureau will utilize their JAG funding to hire a full-time, limited-term business systems analyst who will be a subject matter expert in instructional design. They will support the police training division in developing and delivering effective, learner-focused instructional materials that promote organizational change. They will also address and analyze training needs and desired outcomes. We have Ken Lee here to present on this item.
Thanks so much, Mayor, and I've actually taken over Ken. He had a conflicting appointment. My name is Nathan Leamy. I'm the Financial Operations Manager for the Portland Police Bureau. And I'm joined by Captain Abrahamson, who's our expert within the program. I'm gonna share my screen and just give the council a brief walkthrough what we're applying for and sort of how it works, with a description of the program itself beyond what Mayor Wheeler has already described, description of our application and outcomes that we're hoping for. As the mayor described, this has been ongoing annual grant since 2005. It is a non-competitive grant. So typically when the city applies, it receives these grant funds and has done so over the past decade. In terms of funding of what we're able to spend these dollars on, we have fairly great flexibility here. It can be spent on hiring and retaining personnel, purchasing non-prohibited equipment, supplies, contractual support, training, technical assistance, and information assistance. So these are dollars that the Bureau puts forward an application with what we intend to spend on it and usually get guidance and approval from the federal government. In terms of the split, as the mayor explained, this is something where we submit a joint application on behalf of ourselves and other qualifying local jurisdictions. So the total award amount is $480,000. We'll be retaining $239,000 from that and passing on dollars to Multnomah County and to Gresham. In terms of the program itself, I'm gonna hand this off to Captain Abrahamson to describe what our application is for this year.
Thanks, Nathan. Good morning, Mayor and Council members. Privileged to be with you. Just for framework to clarify, currently there's been some gaps in our training that we've assessed and determined. And really, when we develop curriculum now for the Bureau for all member training, it's being created by officers and sergeants and administrative staff who frankly haven't been trained in creating lesson plans that employ a creative, innovative strategy that then in turn supports learning retention or transference of skills for adults. When we look at design and methodology and approach within an educational setting, these really are unique specialty skills that an educational designer carries with them through graduate or doctoral level certification. And in turn, other agencies have seen that then this is reflected and incorporated into the curriculum. And then we're seeing a leveraging really in the outcomes and outputs. And our hope is that an instructional designer will be able to come in and become a subject matter expert on these various programs and then seamlessly cross-weave concepts from one program into other programs and then reinforce and leverage these learning objectives. Nathan, we can go to the next slide. We're hopeful that this position will be working with the Department of Justice, who reviews our lesson plans now, Training Advisory Committee, and other community partners who provide input into our training. Creating quality content, it really is necessary to achieve Bureau goals and then adhere to the level of expectations of our community and the oversight committees. And in addition, hopefully this limits liability of poor training or poor production, and in my belief, which far surpasses the cost of this position. In addition, this position will assist with forecasting of outcomes in the development stage, adhere to cognitive limitations of learners, they'll construct the best cognitive schemas that they can to assist with retention of material, and then relate to multiple intelligences too, which frankly right now is a gap. Also in conjunction with this, we want this position to work with our analyst teams that we have embedded in our training division. So when we're identifying a need or gaps up front, they are assisting in that process and in that conversation and dialogue, incorporating methodology into curriculum at the onset, then that mitigates negative outcomes. And maybe this should have been prefaced first, but if you look at our directive 1500 for training for the Bureau, back in 2014, directive 1500, when it was created, it actually refers to the curriculum instructional unit or design unit. And there was two seats that were created and funded in the training division. And unfortunately with saturation, both employees that we hired that were actually filling this need in the training division for a handful of years left the Bureau. And for the last couple of years, they have gone vacant. And unfortunately, due to funding, they have not been filled. And so we've seen a gap again in the last couple of years. And I think it's paramount that, again, for what has been previously been stated, that this is filled. Nathan, we can go to the next slide. Just some data and stats here. In the first 6 months of 2021, we delivered 69 trainings internally. And the lesson plans and design for this is a heavy lift. And really to determine again what best practice is, this is important to staff this position. These trainings consisted of approximately 300 hours of instructional content. When we look at specifically delivering skill-based educational content, we really seek to create and deliver the highest quality training that we can to our members. And we recognize that there's a correlation between the creation of quality training and again, the outputs that are demonstrated and then ingrained into our membership and then distributed to the general public. And in a turn, I believe this will provide a higher level of service and skills and outcomes which either reflect poorly or they benefit our Bureau. So with that, thank you for your time.
Very good. Colleagues, any questions at this particular juncture? Keelan, do we have public testimony on this non-emergency ordinance?
No one is on the call for this item.
Very good. Then this is Commissioner Ryan has a question.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. When Captain Abrahamson referred to 69 trainings so far in 2021, I got the impression that's lower than what, 2019? Is that a number that we should be concerned about? I just couldn't tell from your report.
No, that is just for reference. And it fluctuates some, but really we have triennially, we have requirements by the state to meet so many hours. And so that training remains fairly constant for the most part. We did transition this past year, you know, obviously with COVID to online, to LMS and more online learning. But those trainings, they're very time consuming. And again, the creation of those lesson plans, you know, you're looking at anywhere from 4 to 10 pages contingent on what the topic is.
Well, thank you for being so adaptable.
Very good.
Excuse me, Mayor, if I may ask, what is LMS?
Thank you. LMS is a common term for a learning management system. It's just a platform. It's online. The city has City Learner. That's an LMS.
Thank you. Yeah, these acronyms, gotta love them. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, Commissioner. Good. With that, then, this is the first reading of the Commissioner Ryan, did you have another question? This is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Next item is item number 700.
Authorize intergovernmental agreement with Oregon Department of Transportation for reimbursement for work zone projects, traffic enforcement.
Colleagues, this ordinance will authorize the Portland Police Bureau to enter into an agreement with the State of Oregon Department of Transportation for safety and traffic enforcement within the state's roadway construction zones. The state is moving away from a grant-funded safety and traffic enforcement model that they've used for over a decade and towards a reimbursement model for the same work. I would like to welcome Lieutenant Dark Hull and Nathan Leamy, who are here to present on this item. Good morning.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. So again, I'll be walking you through the program itself, the IGA structure and delivery and outcomes. So Sergeant Hull will have an introduction here on the program itself.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. Just a quick point of clarification I want to make. The program itself is out there to protect the work zone workers. So the work zone typically consists of machinery on the roadway with active traffic around it, but it also primarily consists of boots on the ground, people walking around, focused on their job, not necessarily concerned about traffic as they are their job. So we're there to protect them. And traffic's going by, there's a lot of variables that could end up hurting them.
So in terms of the sort of funding structure and the change itself we're seeing here, this is an ongoing grant that we've had in the past where we've received funding from the Oregon Department of Transportation to have officers out on the streets in construction work zones, ODOT facilities. There's a shift that the Oregon Department of Transportation has chosen to make in terms of how they fund, rather than having this be an application with a grant that goes year over year. Instead, they'll be shifting to a reimbursement model. In a practical sense, it's not going to make any significant changes in terms of what we can or will do. One shift will be that rather than just allowing for overtime, we would be able to charge for straight time as well. Another shift is around a match. It's fairly common when you're working with federal grants or state grants that you'll have a matching component where they want agency to put some skin in the game. So if they're giving you $10, they want you to have spent $1 of your own money in order to make sure that you're putting something in as well. Previously, we had a match with the grant. With this reimbursement model, we'll no longer be required to have that specific match. Otherwise, it would be fairly similar. There's a 5-year intergovernmental agreement that will take place here. For some more details, Sergeant Hall.
Hello again. You'll have to forgive me, I have to put my mask on because people are too close. The main focus, again, will be to reduce traffic crashes by providing high visibility enforcement, so stopping vehicles, talking to people. Anything that we do out there will have our emergency lights on, which tends to get people's attention. And then also the coordination of vehicle placement. Our vehicle, along with certain vehicles that ODOT has to help protect their workers, works in combination to help prevent crashes and fatal crashes. The officers who work this are highly trained in very specific fields that relate to traffic and also impairment while driving a vehicle. As a side note, it will reduce the calls for service that the precinct have to deal with. So there will be calls that come out specifically of the work zone or within a close area of the work zone related to the work zone that we will be able to handle. The stats are kind of lacking, but in Oregon in 2015, there was 19 fatal and near fatal crashes. And then the work zone crashes themselves, there was 538. The additional benefits would be the addition of an additional officer in the high visibility function so people can see them, visually deterring people from crimes in that area. The police officer, though, will be able to interact as a go-between between the homeless community and the workers. A lot of the work is being done on ODOT property at bridge abutments and such. And then also work as an intermediary between the community and the work crew. A lot of the community has questions about how much longer is this going to last? Why do they have to do it in the middle of the night? Questions that they probably would not be able to have answered directly if we were not there. And our outcome is very simple. Have no fatalities in our work zones, reduce the number of injury crashes, and improve the traffic safety for the employees that are actually working. Thank you for your time.
Wonderful. And one note is that we will have a proposed amendment here. There's an error in writing the ordinance that we recognized in the past 2 weeks between submission and now. The ordinance was unintentionally submitted for just 3 years, whereas the IGA was written for 5 years.
Colleagues, I'd entertain a motion to amend finding 6 of the ordinance to reflect the 5-year period of agreement ending in 2026 as shown in the proposed amendment submitted to the council.
So moved.
We have a motion and I'll second it. Any further discussion? Please call the roll on the amendment.
Artesty.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. All right, is there any further questions on this? This is a non-emergency ordinance. Is there any testimony on this ordinance?
No.
Very good. This ordinance moves to second reading as amended. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And council members.
Thank you. Next is item 701, a second reading.
Amend contract with North Harris Computer Corporation for maintenance and support services of the Portland Water Bureau and Bureau of Environmental Services customer information system for an additional 5 years in the amount of $2,320,230.
Colleagues, this is a second reading. Is there any further business on this item? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Maps?
Aye.
Rubio?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Item 702 is also a second reading.
Authorize bid solicitation and contracting with the lowest responsive and responsible bidder for construction of the Southeast 19th and Southeast Lambert Street water mains project at an estimated cost of $2,600,000.
Colleagues, any further discussion on this item? Seeing none, please call the roll, Keelan.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Maps?
Aye.
Rubio?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. We'll go back to the item pulled from the consent agenda, item number 689.
Authorize Bureau of Transportation to acquire certain permanent and temporary property rights necessary for construction of the Northeast 46th Avenue and Northeast Bryant Street Local Improvement District project through exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
This is an emergency ordinance. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. PBOT decided they wanted to pull this off the agenda so that we could have a conversation. So we have staff here that are ready to present.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. I'm Andrew Abbey. I'm the city's local improvement district administrator. I'm joined today by Marty Maloney, a right-of-way agent with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. We are not expecting any property owner testimony this morning, but we wanted to put this on the regular agenda. It was actually a mistake that was put on the consent agenda. We have a fairly major right-of-way acquisition planned, and we wanted to be transparent and not put this on the consent agenda. So if we can just move quickly through the presentation, we have three council members who weren't on the council when this LID got formed. So I thought it'd be beneficial to give you the Cliff Notes version of the LID. Marty, can you advance to the next slide, please? So this is a map of the local improvement district. You can see that green box on the map on the left. That is the major right-of-way acquisition to which I was alluding a moment ago. That is the new Northeast Bryant Street that will connect existing unpaved Northeast 46th Avenue and the recently improved Northeast 47th Avenue, which was rebuilt in concrete as part of a separate Northeast 47th Avenue local improvement district. You can see that this is an industrial area north of Northeast Columbia Boulevard. You can also see on that map on the left, there's a very large parcel to the left of that green box. That is the location of the future TriMet Columbia bus base. Next slide, please. So I'm not gonna read these all off to you, but you can see that we have a variety of objectives with this project, including paving an unpaved street, providing a new street connection to improve access, introducing new desperately needed stormwater management in this area that doesn't currently have it, and a variety of other objectives. Next slide, please. So this is the largest local improvement district in city history outside the central city. Almost $13 million is what we are going to spend in the Coley neighborhood. And we're very pleased to have been able to put this project together as a partnership with property owners, including TriMet and other small businesses in the area. Next slide, please. This is Northeast 46th Avenue today. So that building you see on the left is part of the future Columbia bus base. So we will be paving that street and introducing stormwater management. Next slide, please. And then another aspect of the right-of-way acquisition is we're going to be putting in a new traffic signal at Northeast 42nd and Columbia Boulevard to make it much safer for small businesses to access Columbia Boulevard, which is one of our high crash corridors. So we need some right-of-way acquisition to be able to put in signal poles there. And as you can also see from this picture, we have a fair amount of alligator asphalt pavement, and we're going to be rebuilding that in concrete for all of the hundreds of TriMet buses that will be traveling over that Northeast 42nd Avenue roadway when they start and end their run during the day.
Excuse me, Andrew, if I could go back just a sec. What did you call this a pavement? A zebra pavement? What is a zebra pavement?
Alligator pavement.
Okay.
So if you think of a skin on an alligator, you don't want your pavement on a street looking like the skin on an alligator. You want it to be nice and smooth, without a bunch of cracks in it. So.
I thought, do we have alligators around here? I didn't know about
Thank you. No, we're not moving to Florida, Commissioner Hardesty, but thank you for the opportunity to clarify that. So. I just wanted to show you that this project is located in Cully. One of the things that we really try to do with the LID program is think about equity and areas of the city that have been traditionally underserved with infrastructure. So one of the things that made me so pleased to be able to help put this LID together was we have a much higher proportion of unpaved streets in Cully than we do the city as a whole. It's more than triple. Conversely, you're less than half as likely on a street in Cully to have a sidewalk on it as citywide. And this is the most diverse neighborhood in the city of Portland, lower economic means. These are exactly the people who need options to walk and bike and do so safely and not have to drive their car. So we're just really pleased we're able to put together such a large LID here in Cully. Next slide, please. And then what I also just wanted to show is one of the things that we're trying to do as part of our goal to reduce carbon emissions and fight climate change is we want more people on transit. Well, if you look at this slide, you can see that when we put the LID together in 2018, 38 years had gone by. And you can see from that slide that transit service hours in the TriMet service district have more than doubled over that past 38 years. We're still getting by, or I should say TriMet is still getting by with three bus garages. So they're bursting at the seams at two out of the three bus garages. And so TriMet very strategically wanted to locate this new bus garage because it will minimize the amount of deadhead time. And deadhead time is just taking a bus and sending it around town to start a route where it isn't picking up passengers. And so this will reduce costs for TriMet and enable expansion of transit service, which segues into my next slide, Marty. So this is my final slide before I turn it over to Marty, but you can see those two red dots on the map are the two TriMet bus garages that are located within the city of Portland. One is near Southeast 17th and Holgate. The other is near I-205 and Powell. Both of those garages are completely full and have no more room to park any buses or have more operators operating out of them. So what we have right now is a very strange scenario where, for example, you could be riding a bus in Northeast Portland and that bus that serves you in Northeast Portland could be coming from that bus garage in Beaverton, which is shown with the yellow dot there on the map. So what we want to do is to move those buses away from the yellow dot to the green dot, which is the new Columbia bus base, and let the buses in the on the yellow dot primarily serve routes in Washington County. So it's just more efficient for TriMet and will again accommodate expansion of transit service. So with that, I'll turn it over to Marty for the next slide, and he's going to walk you through the details of the property rights ordinance. Thank you.
Hello, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is For the record, my name is Marty Maloney with the PBOT right-of-way. Agenda item 689 gives PBOT the authority to compensate affected property owners for the needed property rights and, if necessary, to condemn for these property rights associated with the project. Permanent and temporary rights from 17 individual properties have been identified as necessary to construct this project. The project will also require personal property relocations from two separate files. During the right-of-way phase, the project will provide relocation advisory assistance as well as warranted moving cost expenses to affected owners as well. Property owners have been informed of the project need for these property rights and were invited to attend this reading. So that completes the presentation. Thank you very much for your time. And if council has any questions, we'd be more than happy to answer any of those at this time.
All right, Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. And thank you both. I'm so glad you took that off the consent agenda because this is huge for the Cauley community. And I guess my question is the how? How are you? I mean, because I know the Cauley neighborhood, and I know that I know the demographics of that community. This is really impressive work that you've been able to put an LID together that will have significant benefits, not just for property owners, but for all the people who live in the Cauley community. And I know we're getting late on the hour, so I don't need all the details, but I'm just curious as to, because you did mention, Andrew, that this is one of the biggest LIDs outside of the central city. And I think there are lessons here that we can learn as we continue to come out of this pandemic.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. I'll be very brief because I know the hour is late. I just make a couple of quick comments. This is not a residential LID. This is a commercial LID. So that is one of the things that made this LID more viable. I would also point out that TriMet is paying over 3/4 of the cost of the LID, and TriMet is the developer on this LID. So it was a good financial balance between existing and new property owners. And two other quick points before I wrap up. One is one thing that I think will be very beneficial from this LID is when TriMet opens up the Columbia bus space, they are going to be providing living wage jobs for people who want to become operators and mechanics. TriMet has had a really hard time hiring for those positions, but this is a great opportunity for people in Cauley and other nearby neighborhoods to apply for those living wage jobs once the bus space opens. And then lastly, I would just mention council heard a presentation this morning on asset management. We incorporated that into this LID. So the reason that we're rebuilding Northeast 42nd Avenue in concrete is we don't want that to continue to be a maintenance issue over time. So we're spending a little bit more in the way of capital dollars now so that it significantly reduces the ongoing maintenance cost for that pavement. So that's just kind of a overview of my perspective of the LID, and I'm happy to answer any further questions that council might have.
Thank you. That was really helpful. And I guess my last question would be, do we know whether this is going to be the electric bus terminal, or are we going to be having diesel guzzling buses in Cauley? Because we already have enough pollution in Cauley.
Yeah, Commissioner, I don't know the exact timeline, but I know that TriMet has committed to a timeframe where they're looking at a different propulsion source, for lack of a better term, for their buses. I will also just tell you, Commissioner, that I have been working with Pacific Power and also TriMet's design consultant for their private development. We are looking strategically about, okay, so when buses get electrified, assuming they are electrified, do we have a spot to put that really, really heavy electrical substation in?
Right.
We've actually even given thought to the grade to the street because these things are huge. You have to move them in on a crane. How do you get it in there? So I don't think TriMet has pulled the trigger yet on what that is, but we're already giving thought to that, and we're trying to design the infrastructure to be complementary to whatever decision and timeline TriMet arrives at. And on a personal note, it's just been an absolute pleasure to work with TriMet on this and be able to be looking ahead 20 years or however long it's going to be. So
I'm glad to hear that. And you're absolutely right. I've spent a lot of time with TriMet of late because of my PBAT assignment. I am certainly looking forward to helping TriMet be more visionary on what's possible, because if we're making these kind of investments and we're not putting electric charging stations in, we're not anticipating us moving away from fossil fuel, then we're missing a generational opportunity to do something significant. So thank you for your good work.
All right, any further questions? Keelan, is there any public testimony on this emergency ordinance?
No, no one signed up.
Please call the roll.
Hardesty.
Good work, thank you. I vote aye.
Maps.
I want to thank Commissioner Hardesty, Peabot, and Andrew for that presentation. It was very helpful for me as a guy who wasn't here when this got off the ground. I'm glad to see this project move forward, and for those reasons, I vote aye.
Rubio.
I want to thank everyone for the very informative presentation. I'm eager for this project. I vote aye.
Ryan.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Hardesty, and thank you, Andrew and Marty. That was a great presentation. Traffic spots on Columbia, major investment in a neighborhood that we've undervalued for too many decades. And thank you for educating me on alligator asphalt and deadhead time. And I did live in Eugene in the 80s, so that had special meaning. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I can't follow that, so I'm just going to say aye. Thank you for a great presentation. Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. This is absolutely going to spur much needed investment in this part of the city. So it's all around great. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted, and we are adjourned until 2 p.m. Thank you, everybody.